Fuck it. I'll do it myself. I may be a cold-hearted bitch when necessary, but at least I won't get gutted by doing my job and keeping someone I love safe. She sat at the laptop and pounded her password into the keyboard. Graves and Sanderson entered, their expressions murderous as they swept the room. Fallon's settled on hers.
Where's Dylan?
Getting his ass kicked by Addie. Dr. Parsons and Logan are trying to calm the two of them down, though no one knows what the hell went down.
Gage looked at Marshall.
What's the play?
Don't ask me.
She's in charge.
Marshall said.
She's the edge. She's always in control.
Jesus, you're a real bastard when you're pissed.
Jesse commented.
Back off. Don't say anything more you'll regret when the tension settles.
More like testosterone. Freaking goddamn men. Vi muttered under her breath. Driggs is in containment. Here are the briefing notes, what I can get from the system since no one had updated anything, and everyone is focused on something else but the objective. She handed the electronic pad to Fallon. You two decide how you want to approach. I'm tapping out on this one.
You sure?
Yeah. You're green-lighted. Either of you can handle it without blowback. That's all I wanted. And I'm too close to plan the play myself. No one in here is neutral enough to take my place effectively, so I'm here. But I'm ceding control to you two. She leaned back in the chair and covered her face. I must have left my cold-hearted bitch back in my other robot outfit.
I'm missing something here,
Gage commented.
Several somethings,
Fallon added. He's marked, she said. Marshall didn't say so, but we handle more than enough of these at Hive for me to know. Final order is to neutralize. That's the summation of what you missed. Anger seeped through the mental barriers she'd constructed. Fallon and Gage hadn't even left the control room, and she was already shredding through her last nerve. Damn. With a deep breath, she held up her hand in the hold motion they used at Hive. Fallon froze, watched, waited. She scrolled through her cell and found the number she'd programmed, more out of a compulsive need to have everyone's contact information at the ready than an expectation of need. The phone didn't work. Of course it didn't. The walls probably prevented it for security reasons. She grabbed the landline and keyed in the number.
Parsons.
This is Mary. Fallon Graves and Gage Sanderson are prepared to interrogate Martin Driggs. I'm unfit to fulfill my duties and need you to take my place. They're unlikely to require assistance, but they need backup in either case. No one here is neutral enough to handle it. I'm sure Logan can show you where containment is.
We'll be there immediately.
Mary waited in the tense silence. Parsons and Logan entered, their assessing gazes sweeping the room. The latter crouched in front of her, but she couldn't handle the pretend world where what she felt mattered. Not in here, where it was her job to keep people safe, secure the assets, eliminate the threats. Dylan had almost stepped over a line for her, and everyone was okay with it. That's what pissed her off the most. But she had no room for anger. It was an emotion, and when people held the position she did, emotions were a weakness, one which jeopardized everyone. That's why she'd been so successful. She'd been nothing more than a job, a robot. Just like Marshall said. For a few wonderful days, she'd had good. Clean, whole emotions tied to nothing but her. Life, happiness, love. But the foolish pipe dream was over. safely packed away somewhere deep inside where it would remain as long as necessary to end this mess. Then she'd decide what, if anything, to do afterward, now that she'd had a taste of what was, living numb, killed something deep inside her. "Mary, I need you to talk to me," Vi said. "Later, not now." She rubbed her face and wished the godforsaken day would end already. "Someone text me when this is over and we have answers." Mary stood and did the unthinkable. She left. Chapter 24. Mary didn't rationalize what she was doing. Truth told, she didn't even realize what she was doing until it was mostly done. The mess hall was dark, but well stocked. Dylan and his brothers spared no expense to offer whatever food their men and the visiting soldiers in Warrior's Path might want. Three industrial-sized refrigerators lined the back area. A large, 12-burner cooking surface was along the half wall toward the front. A U-shaped serving bar was empty, but she imagined fruits, vegetables, assorted meats and cheese with pertinent condiments filling the area. A small cooking area was up front. Waffle irons and small skillets lined the bar to the right of the station. Hot breakfast. She'd enjoyed an omelet one morning. Dylan had fixed it for her. Her gut tightened. Guess she'd messed up that before it even really got anywhere. Typical. Always screwing stuff up. She wrapped paper towels around her sacrifices and trudged out the side door. To hell with whatever the sign said. Someone in surveillance would just have to deal. No alarm sounded. She and Vi had ended all that whoop and blare drama. It was so 20 years ago. Don't tell the bad guys, you know they're there. That was the new rage. The smell of hay and stable assailed her nostrils when she entered. She wasn't exactly sure what the smell of a stable was, seeing how this was the first one she'd technically been in. But she imagined manure, animal, and country. Yeah, country definitely had a smell, one seared into her brain as the best place going. A part of her grieved for what she'd lost. The other accepted it wasn't ever really hers. An asset. That's what she was. Peter had always called her that, the best asset he'd cherry-picked from MIT. They hadn't always gotten along. Death had a way of casting a rosy haze around the bad parts of someone. Dylan's high-handed actions reminded her a lot of the head-to-head battles she and Peter had when things weren't going according to his preconceived plan. If it had been him in there today, he would have already hunted her down and talked it out. He was big on not letting her simmer for long. "I'm thinking I really messed up this time, girl." Dylan's voice boomed from Peanut's stall. Mary looked down at the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches wistfully. Apparently, they'd both had the same idea. This was his ranch, his family. His horse, his sister's habit to mimic. She'd give him the space he needed.
"She was right, you know. None of us are good with the black part of what we'll be doing. It's part of the job, though. You do what you gotta do and move on. She was wrong, too, though."
Mary froze, her gut tightened.
"I would have walked away unchanged because it kept her safe. She would have gotten me through. Jesus, how the hell did I fall this fast?"
Mary ignored the way her heart thudded, hard and wild, or the way her breathing grew more labored the closer she got to Peanut, to Dylan. She clutched the PBJ in her good hand as she turned the corner and angled into the stall's entry. Shock clogged her throat, killing the scream before it escaped. Speakers sat in the hay a few yards away. Dylan wasn't there. A recording. A trap. The sandwiches crashed to the ground as rough hands grabbed her and slammed her against the side of the stall. Amusement echoed in hot breaths against her ear.
This was almost too simple. Come on, bitch. Time for me to get a nice fat payday.
Dan Hennessy. The name chimed in her head. They'd escorted him off the property, though. Fear chewed through her thoughts as she looked over her shoulder, then at the gun pressed into her head.
Walk. Don't make a sound. This'll be over soon.
Let me go. Let me go and I won't tell. You don't have to do this.
Yeah, bitch, I do. They're gonna pay. They're all gonna pay. He's right. It's time to make everyone pay.
Who's right? Mary asked. I don't understand any of this. Dan snagged her by the hair and dragged her from the barn. He opened the trunk of a dark green Honda and motioned.
In, bitch.
I'm claustrophobic. Please. I won't make any trouble, I swear.
Mary!
Her heart seized. No, 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 no. She closed her eyes and willed the voice away. Dan turned her in Logan's direction as he ran toward them.
Logan, no! Get back!
Dan aimed at Logan and fired. She slammed her casted arm against his hand at the last second, praying it was enough to help. Logan tumbled to the ground a few feet away. Blood pooled around his head. Tears stung her gaze as she was slammed in the side of the head by the gun handle.
Stupid bitch, you never learn.
Dan shoved her into the trunk and glared a few beats before slamming the weapon on her head one more time. Blackness enveloped her.
You have a lot of nerve.
Dylan ignored Addie's statement and secured the glove around his wrist. Someone should have stopped her from tracking him down. Hell, his brothers knew better. He'd tried calming himself in the barn earlier, but it hadn't worked. She got in his face.
You were out of line. Not your business.
He gritted through clenched teeth.
Bullshit. I stood there, watched you cut her open. For doing her job.
Addie's voice thundered through the exercise room. She looked at the punching bag, then smiled.
You feel like a big man now? Roaring your rage like a pissed off kid who didn't get to play where he wanted. Now it's time to punch it out. Feel more like a real man.
Fine. Let's do this. Addie grabbed a pair of grappling gloves from the pile they kept on hand. She sneered when she glanced up at him.
What? Never gotten your ass handed to you by a girl? Well, today's your lucky day. You think you can take me?
He shook his head in disbelief a moment.
Don't start something you can't finish.
You forgot who my brother was. I learned to fight to keep breathing after the first few broken bones. Toughen up or check out, that was his motto. She clenched her fists, testing the fit of the gloves.
I'm a fast learner.
Dylan's gut tightened. Rage rolled from the woman when she spoke. But he wasn't sure whether it was anger at him or something else.
I'm sorry you lost him.
Everyone remembers a different Peter. No one knew the same man. You noticed that?
You did, he commented.
You are a lot like him in there, you know. He used to get up in Mary's face all the time, screaming and yelling, when she didn't let his decision be the move made in the field. He'd storm off, pout, just like you. She struck. A foot landed in his face. He stumbled backward and defended against the next move. The woman was a powerhouse. He set aside everything but the fight. Fists and legs flew. Strike after strike landed. Sweat poured from them both. Addie took a step back and dragged in labored breaths, while Dylan doubled over and willed his gut to stop heaving.
"You're good," she commented. "Better than I expected."
"He trained you well."
"There wasn't any training with Peter Ruggers. There was defending, learning, applying."
Addie grabbed a bottle of water and tossed it to him. "I loved my brother, but he wasn't a saint. No one as good as him got that way being an angel."
"What are you implying?"
"Nothing." She sighed and sat. "Hell, I don't know. Something about today doesn't sit right, like I missed something important."
"What specifically?"
"The amateur hour kidnapping attempts, the one with your sister, then today. Whoever hired these idiots knew you'd take them down easily. So why bother? The first was because someone got uncomfortable. Or so I thought." Addie took a sip of water. "It doesn't read right. None of this does."
"You're thinking the first attempt wasn't to get us refocused?"
"It was definitely a smokescreen, but I can't figure out why. Not after the one today. Those idiots in there stood no chance, but someone wanted them there. In this very situation."
"But why?"
Dylan sat across from Addie and set the anger and rage aside. Someone had played them.
"Divide and conquer. Today, what went down pushed my buttons, the ones that demanded I be the one to protect Mary, those I love."
"And it pushed hers for the very same reason.
It's her job to protect everyone. She is the job. We've said it 1,000 times. She was only the job until you." Addie cursed. "Someone's seen inside enough to know you two were close. Exactly how to divide you."
"And has a better than average ability to read people,"
Dylan commented as his mind started putting two and two together.
"I'm not liking where this is taking us."
"Me neither. Let's go. I want eyes on Mary."
Conversation died as they sprinted toward containment. Dylan's pulse quickened. He'd phone Marshall, but the thick metal walls prevented cell phone signals. He tagged Addie by the back of the shirt when she arrived at the door leading to the lower levels.
"You've got a code for this sort of thing at Hive?"
"This exact one? No. But there are a few usable. Why?"
Whoever was pulling the strings read people easily, knew exactly how to come between him and Mary, when very few even knew there was a him and Mary. The possibilities were limited, and since most were either blood or had shed theirs to keep him breathing, the conclusion left him nervous. One person fit the bill better than anyone else.
"I'm pretty sure Dr. Parsons is dirty,"
he said. "Which makes your boy Logan dirty too, since he recommended her," Addie added. Fuck, he hadn't gotten that far. Yeah, he wasn't trustworthy either.
"One or both are going to be down there, and we need to warn everyone somehow."
"I'll get the word to Vi."
She yanked her cell phone from her pocket and punched a few buttons.
"Cells won't work down there. Not with the thick walls."
"This isn't your average cell. Vi and I are testing a new add-on to Hera. I'd get a signal on Mars, so Vi's phone will ring."
She held the phone up to her ear. "If Graves is in there, he can help." Dylan didn't want to think about Fallon Graves, how easily Mary trusted him to get the job done when he'd been found lacking. His gut soured, but he ignored the emotion chewing through his insides and headed toward containment. All eyes swept toward him when he and Addie entered. The woman maneuvered toward Vi without comment and sat. No conversations, no scrawling of notes, nothing. Yet he noted the tension in the other woman's shoulders, in the way she typed on the keyboard.
Dr. Parsons, I know you're the shrink and can walk them through the interrogation, but I'd like to assume initial control.
Vi's voice was low, calm, rational.
That'll give you the time to assess the situation and make adjustments when the session gets to the critical stage. That's what Edge and I did.
Yes, yes, that'll work. The woman sat on the other side of Vi, too close for Dylan to strike and not risk fallout, even with Addie on the other side. Graves, this is Quillery. Do you copy?
Yeah, we're ready.
Graves and Sanderson had Driggs in the interrogation area, a chamber with a drain, chains, a chair, and a table.
Instruments hung on the walls and spread across the table's surface, more for show and effect than actual use.
Edge is not in target zone. New replacement has been acquired.
Vi commented.
Recommend extreme measures and ready for unknown variables. Parsons will provide further recommendations.
The line went silent a moment.
Copy, Quillery. Is Edge secure?
Unknown. She is no longer our focus. We have a new asset in position. Begin when ready.
Roger.
Vi removed the headset and passed it over to Dr. Parsons. The woman smiled graciously as she put it on.
Thank you for stepping in. I have no idea what happened. She just lost it. She's been on edge a lot lately. I guess it was just too much.
Vi tapped away on the keyboard.
It'll be nice to have a professional around, someone who knows psychology. Mary and I were always arguing over the best way to handle people.
Well, interrogations are tricky and not my forte, as I mentioned. The woman crossed her legs and smiled at Marshall.
I'm willing to do whatever must be done, though.
Jesse and Nolan had Dylan as their sole focus. He flashed a quick hand signal for danger, while Vi had Parsons distracted. Addie shifted away, standing to walk around the console and take a position nearer his brother's. Cord glanced down at the gloves Addie hadn't removed, then over at Dylan's bloodied face. He'd like to think hers looked just as bad, but the woman was fierce.
Looks like you knocked some sense into him.
Well, he knocked more than that into me. Trust me, things aren't always what they seem. I'm glad we got it worked out. I need to track Mary down, though. Do the same with her.
Logan went to find her. He was worried.
Parsons replied with a smile.
Yeah, sure he was.
Dylan grunted and remained in position. He needed to contain the situation here before worrying about Mary.
Oh, well, she's in good hands then, Addie said. Let's get this going. I'm ready for answers.
You're green for start, Graves.
Roger, Quillery. We're a go.
The feed into the room went dead. The overhead monitors turned to snow.
What happened? Parsons asked.
Oh, sorry. I forgot to mention. Graves is a bit touchy about his interrogations. He has certain methods he prefers no one see. He'll establish contact in a while, once he's gotten Driggs warmed up.
Vi chewed on her bottom lip.
I doubt it'll take long. Driggs isn't exactly a hard subject to break.
Likely not, the doctor replied. I really must insist on observing the entire process. I can't help later if I don't know what was done.
I see you went to Berkeley, Vi commented. Nice campus. I almost went there.
You should have. It had an excellent curriculum.
Yeah, too bad they booted you out your junior year, Vi commented. I bet that sucked.
The woman reached for her pocket, but Dylan was there, gun drawn.
Don't.
Dr. Parsons laughed.
You think you can win? Honey, you've already lost. You lost before you were ever tagged in.
Where is Mary?
Long gone by now. This was almost too simple. Not even worth our time.
She chuckled and leaned back in the chair, her gaze on the gun as though it was a water pistol.
Stupid little guppy, thinking you could swim in the ocean.
What did you say?
Marshall whispered. He got in the woman's face.
Nothing. I didn't say anything, she spat.
Bullshit, I heard. Where did you hear that?
What's it to you? She retorted.
What the hell is going on?
Nolan asked.
Dr. Parsons is our mole. Logan, too, more than likely.
Dylan explained.
Addy and I went a few rounds and knocked enough sense into ourselves to realize we'd been played. Me, Mary, all of you. Divide and conquer, oldest game in the book.
Surveillance cameras aren't picking Mary up anywhere, Vi commented. I'm accessing her chip. The woman typed fiercely on the keyboard, her brow furrowed. Dylan squeezed Parsons' throat.
One chance, lady. Where the hell did he take her? Front gate says no one's been in or out,
Dallas said. She's headed north, sending the signal to your phones and trucks. Vi looked up. Go get her. Dylan's jaw twitched. He wanted to charge out the door and run toward her, but they still needed answers.
Go. We'll call in what Graves and Sanderson get from Driggs,
Marshall said.
Dr. Parsons and I are going to have a chat.
I'm taking a team over to the old Burton place. I'm not hanging around for answers if there's a hit squad at our back door,
Jesse said.
I'll go too. Help clear and secure the tunnels. I'm thinking we need to have a chat with the realtor. Take that property on.
Nolan looked around.
Yeah, get on that,
Marshall said.
Cord, you help Vi keep scanning. Feed us whatever you can.
Dylan headed out.
God help whoever took Mary. Hang on, sweetheart. I'm coming to get you.
Chapter 25. Dried blood covered her face. Aside from a killer headache and questionable vision, because of the likely concussion, Dan hadn't messed with Mary. He'd hauled her to an abandoned building outside San Antonio and tied her to a rickety chair. As much as she wanted to be a badass commando and rip the chair up, kick the bastard's ass, and run away, she knew this was a chance. A shot at finding out who was behind everything, pulling their strings.
She's not answering. She should be answering.
Dan clicked his phone off, then dialed again. Each time increased the man's agitation, rage. He paced back and forth, back and forth. The gun he'd shot Logan with waved in the air wildly with each pass. Mary flexed her arm muscles, testing the bindings holding her put. The chip she and Vi had inserted into themselves was still there, active. Vi could track her down. Dylan would rescue her. Hopefully. She swallowed back the regret she'd stewed in the past couple hours.
He'd cared too much to take a backseat, let others get the answers she needed, that they needed. She should have trusted him to take his own pulse if it got too intense. Instead, she'd put the job first and cut him off at the knees. If she got out of this, she'd make it up to him. Even if he couldn't forgive her, she'd apologize and give him what he needed to move on. He deserved better. She did too. She wanted the happy he'd given her. She hadn't realized how much until she'd woken up in the car trunk and realized she wasn't safe on Dylan's ranch. Dan had entered and left via the main entrance under the guise of picking up his last check and clearing out his gear. What utter bullshit. There'd been no reason not to trust him. He'd killed the escort. Logan.
Who's not answering?
She tried.
If they hurt her, you'll suffer twice as much. No, 10 times as much.
He shook the gun in her face.
I could have snagged the other two he wanted easy, but he just had to have you. Said you'd have all the data. They wouldn't.
Whoever hired you, Dan, we can work this out. Call Marshall or Nolan. You're right, you know. They see now you were right all along. Cord should have been kept in charge of operations. I was a threat, a weakness. I let them down today, just before you found me at the barn. I failed them.
Ha! She said you would,
he said proudly.
Baby sis is good, real good.
Baby sis. The pieces slid together as Mary recounted the therapy session. Parsons talking about her big brother, the wounded Navy SEAL, who'd come back a different man. Of course. Why hadn't Hera established the connection?
Dr. Parsons is your sister? I didn't know.
I made sure no one did. Things happen to families. The things we do, they come back. That's why I signed on when he approached, promised to keep her secure. All we had to do was this one job. Then we're set for life. Wherever we want to go.
The gun hand trembled. Mary's pulse quickened.
I always promised I'd give her the world.
Sometimes promises have to be broken.
You'd know all about that, wouldn't you?
Dan laughed maniacally.
Just too smart for your own good. That's what he said. Too many brains get you dead.
Dread fired through her bloodstream as footsteps sounded behind Dan. Shadows obscured his face a moment, but 2 steps later, her entire world collapsed. Past collided with disbelief as she stared at a ghost.
Peter?
He's right, you know. You were too smart for your own good.
The man commented as he walked up until he loomed above her. Legs spread slightly, he entered her personal space and settled a hand beneath her chin.
It didn't have to come to this, Mary. You should have walked away. Let it go.
I don't understand. Why? How?
I knew you'd put the pieces together soon enough. Smoke and mirrors covered my tracks longer than I expected. You and Vi have kept me busy lately. That program of yours was a big problem. Started undercutting years of work, decades.
Denial was poised on her tongue, but her heart burned as the truth seared itself there, branding its permanence on her soul. Peter Ruggers was the mastermind.
This whole time, you've pulled Driggs' strings the entire time.
Martin does what he's told. A good lapdog to have around.
Peter flashed the arrogant grin she hated.
Great with money.
He started having trouble a couple years ago, though. That's when I first realized you and Vi had been busy little bodies, siphoning money I'd pilfered. You got me in a lot of trouble.
All this for money? That's beneath you, Peter.
Years of careful planning and worming my way into organizations around the world were destroyed by you in one afternoon.
Anger mottled his tone, like oil and gasoline burned with a match.
When you came to my office holding evidence of my life's work, the deals and the sacrifices I'd made, I knew what had to be done.
How long were you dirty, Peter? All the things we accomplished. Why?
You always had to be the white knight, riding in to save the day. That's what I admired about you the most. The raw tenacity. The way you sank your teeth into something and never let loose. No matter what someone did.
His voice lowered as he stroked her hair.
I told Driggs you wouldn't break. I watched, listened. You did good.
Revulsion shuddered through her, a wave of nausea rolling in her gut. He'd been there. He'd watched. There were no compartments strong enough to withstand the shockwave the admission created in her.
Why? You were like a brother to me. She whispered.
Sweet little Addie is a lot like you, always seeking approval, coming back for more and more when she gets knocked down.
Peter chuckled.
I honed her into a beautiful killing machine, capable of doing whatever I commanded. And she did, you know. I never even had to give the details. She knew what I expected.
Mary recalled the lists, long and endless. Men and women Addie seduced for the sake of a mission. Peter had done that. Crafted a weapon from the tattered soul of his little sister. He was a monster, one far worse than the ones she'd spent her entire life battling. She stared up at the man she'd once respected.
I'm gonna enjoy watching Dylan and Marshall tear you apart.
You think the Arsenal can stop me?
He laughed.
Marshall isn't in the major leagues. Never will be. The only way you win the game these days is if you check your soul at the door. He wears his like armor, never wandering much past the line drawn by humanity. He'll never touch me. I never had a soul.
I don't believe that. I saw the good you've done. The lives you saved.
That's part of the game. The people who hire me. The real clients. They need what I offer. A clean cover. An in to the governments. An alphabet soup. I grease the right palms and everyone's happy. And I get a very nice payday.
Then I found your nest eggs. Mary surmised. I bet that pissed you off.
Was it just you?
Peter leaned in.
I told Driggs to take Vi too, but he said you'd be easier to break. I knew he was wrong. I let him have his fun, play with you a bit.
Mary ignored the cloying fear in her and forced the conversation forward. Then you steered me to the Arsenal. Why? Why them?
I wasn't stupid. I knew you and Vi were looking around, scoping options. Word gets around when we're in such small circles. I knew if you two landed somewhere, it'd have to be a clean operation, one so above board, it squeaked.
So when I brought the evidence to you, thinking it was Driggs, you staged your death. Why?
I needed a huge payday to appease the people your moves pissed off.
Your head on a platter didn't help anything. You were a cash cow breathing. Both of you were.
He sneered.
The Quillery Edge.
And stealing Hera wouldn't be enough. You always want more. She spat.
You and Vi held your assets for that fucking computer and the programs it ran close. Never could crack either of you. Find out who created the power source, the chemical weapons. You had no idea what gold mines you two stupid geeks were sitting on. You didn't even care. Sitting in your cave, playing cops and robbers.
We caught you. Took every penny, didn't we? The slap stung her face, but she welcomed the pain. The burn as it spread through her skin and settled into a dull throb. The sensation reminded her Peter wasn't the man she'd thought him to be. He was a monster, plain and simple. He rolled up his sleeves and sighed as he pulled a cart over.
I need those access codes. The data you gathered. I need it all, Mary. Give them to me, and I'll make this quick. We both know what has to happen.
Yeah, Peter, we do. Mary gritted her teeth and willed her emotions away. For once, summoning the Edge, the emotionless bitch she'd honed through the years, was a welcomed chore. She smiled, confident the chip in her was one move he hadn't expected. He'd underestimated her. That was his first mistake. All she had to do was hold on until Vi tracked her and Dylan and his badass commandos rescued her. The vehicle flew down the highway, but Dylan didn't give a damn how fast Marshall drove. It wasn't fast enough. He needed to be where the red dot on the navigation panel indicated, now. They had Mary's location, while a couple men handled loading Logan into a chopper. Dylan's brothers had assembled teams with enough firepower to take over a small country. Vi did her wizardly computer mojo and hooked up a live video and audio feed that gave everyone in the responding vehicles full access to Gage's interrogation of Martin Driggs. He stared at the dot, then back at the iPad he held.
You're lying,
Gage shouted. Blood oozed from untended wounds along Driggs's face and torso, abrasions and cigarette burns in a familiar pattern. One burned into Dylan's brain. He wouldn't have had the ruthless efficiency to dispense the justice Gage did with Driggs. Mary'd been right. Gage knew exactly how to break the man's spirit. Every cut, every wound inflicted was a reminder of what he'd done to Mary. He'd endure the same pain she did for the limited life he had left. Fallon Graves gave the man suggestions before they'd torn off after Mary.
I've had her six longer than she's been your woman. No way in hell I'm staying here and handling garbage, not when there's bigger trash to take out.
Yeah, Mary was right. Fallon Graves was a good soldier. Though the feed was live, willed the answers to come faster. They had less than 20 miles until their destination and no fucking clue what they were headed into. Not that it'd matter. He'd start a world war to save Mary.
You think I'm smart enough to pull this off? I'm a money man. This was all Peter. You're saying he's still alive? Why fake his own death? What's in it for him? He'd lose Hive, everything he's achieved.
Gage asked.
You don't get it.
Martin spat blood on the floor beside him and groaned.
I swear, he planned everything, including Mary's capture. He said she'd never break, but he let me try anyway. What did he want from her? The money. She and that other bitch
cleared every dime out. It wasn't all his. We've gotten a large cut from cleaning money for some very, very bad people. The rest we earned making connections with dignitaries, governments.
He was dirty,
Gage said.
Fuck, no way,
Marshall growled as he slammed his hand on the steering wheel.
You know what they called him before he retired?
Driggs asked.
The chameleon,
Vi whispered into the mic, connected to the vehicle's speakers.
Why didn't we see it?
Addie, who sat in the back seat, shifted and cursed.
Ads.
Don't, the female operative warned. Focus on the interrogation. That's what matters.
Fuck.
Dylan couldn't imagine the shock rolling through her. If what Driggs said was true, her brother wasn't the man any of them believed. What if it'd been Dallas? Cord? No. No way any of his brothers would ever turn. Then again, she probably thought the same thing. She'd learned everything from him. He'd gotten a little insight into the real dynamic between the two earlier, the one he suspected she rarely shared with anyone.
You okay?
Would you be?
We'll find her.
Yeah, we will. I wish I could say he wouldn't hurt her, but I never... She shifted forward until their gaze locked. What Driggs says jives with the timelines. The accident happened right after Mary went to him with the evidence. We were all so convinced it was Driggs. I never pulled the blinders off and considered my brother.
You didn't know. No one did.
Dylan glanced over at Marshall.
We thought the world of your brother. Everyone did.
We assume the worst and assess the situation before going in. If this is Peter, he'll be ready. He's one of the best there is,
Marshall said over the line. The occupants of the other vehicles following them sounded off. They had what they needed. Now they went to war.
Any word on Logan?
Graves asked from the back seat. Chopper just landed in Nomad. He's headed for surgery. That's all we'll know for a while, Vi answered. They'd found Logan outside the barn and helicoptered him to a slightly larger town 20 miles up the road. The small hospital there had wanted to airlift him to San Antonio, but there hadn't been time. Dylan looked over at Marshall, who'd interrogated the bitch psychologist while the vehicles were loaded.
She talk.
Didn't know enough to merit a long discussion. Dan Hennessy is her half-brother.
So he took Mary, left via the front door because the men on rotation trusted him.
Dylan asked,
We need to fix these security holes. This shit can't happen again.
It won't, Marshall said. I owe your woman an apology.
We'll get her back and make things right.
There was no other option, not for Dylan. Dylan studied Addie from across the unpaved road. They'd descended on the area 20 minutes ago, but Marshall held them back as Cord, with Vi's help remotely, did the geek drone scanning thing. His brother was in a truck a few yards away, so into their data feeds, they probably didn't hear the 36 people waiting impatiently to storm the house a mile down the way. Marshall shouldn't let Addie participate in the op. She was an unknown. Even Graves admitted as much. There was no way she was in on whatever her brother was doing, but how she reacted could jeopardize Mary's rescue. Penetration of the house wouldn't be simple. At least 50 operatives armed to the gills rotated in and out in sporadic sweeps. Drones flitted high overhead, surveilling the interior and gathering data. But Dylan suspected the results wouldn't be good.
Everyone took a position to surround the area as they identified a weakness no one expected to find. Peter Ruggers wasn't an idiot. Screams echoed from the loudspeakers. The shrill cries sliced through Dylan, sharp and vicious. Mary. He rose from his position, but Marshall dragged him back down.
It's not her. It's not live, at least. It's a recording,
Vi said through the headset.
Cord's found an inn for the drones. We're sending them now.
Dylan donned headgear, without comment, and willed the cameras to move into position. They needed eyes on Mary. Peter. Any clue what her condition was would ease the agitation boiling in him, or prepare him for the worst-case scenario. No. Mary was tough. The edge. She wouldn't break. Even if she did, he'd put her back together. They'd get through anything. Almost there, sweetheart. A drone rolled across the interior floor. The view jumped and jiggled with its odd movements as it halted. Legs. Ropes wrapped around soft skin. Ankles. Mary's ankles. Dylan absorbed every morsel of data the camera offered and gripped his weapon. His protective side wanted to storm the house and shoot everyone who dared stand in his way. The bastard had Mary 2 hours. Too long. Way too long. Seconds ticked by as the drone slid up. Water dripped from her tattered clothing. Blood dribbled from a busted lip. Both eyes were swollen. Barely open. But they were focused, glinting with rage and strength as they settled on the drone. Dylan swore he saw the relief, the tension fleeing her body. She knew they were here, ready to swoop in. Her good hand fisted, then fingers started moving.
"What's she signaling, Quillery?"
Dylan asked.
"Tripwires inside. Ordnance under chair."
Vi's voice rose with the last words.
"The bastard has her wired. What else?"
"Second team hitting ranch. Secure Briamrea." Vi repeated the words a second time. Marshall pushed a couple buttons on his cell.
"We have eyes on Edge. She's signaling a second team is infiltrating the ranch. Yeah, they're coming for Briamrea."
Dallas, Nolan, and Sanderson had remained at the ranch with half the operatives cleared and vetted by Vi via Mary's background checks. Dylan had been against leaving so many at the compound, but it seemed Jesse's suggestion was spot on.
"All I need is a location. Where did you secure the data? Give me the access codes and the data, and I'll stop. It'll be over."
He wheeled a second cart near her, attached car jumper cables to the metal chair.
"Son of a bitch,"
Graves muttered through the line.
"Are we done holding our dicks and watching this bastard?"
"Wait, she's moving hands again. Shit, he's in the way." The drone maneuvered a bit. Mary's gaze tracked.
"Go to hell, Peter. I'm never telling you anything,"
she forced through busted lips. 2 minutes. We're jamming the detonation device's signal. Cord, you handle that. I'll keep monitoring her. She's pretty mouthy for a hostage. Vi sighed heavily.
Always so bossy.
Dylan breathed a bit easier, hearing the banter back and forth between Vi and Cord as they prepared for entry.
"How's he not seeing the drone inside?"
"Oh, it's the new model we just finished. An interior wooden colored one. It's a bit flatter, harder to detect when it's immobile. Which is why I'm working hard to keep it near the ground. Things flying around people's faces tend to get seen."
"Can it knock him out? If he's the only one in there, why not do that?"
Marshall asked.
"Because we see 4 heat signatures behind her and 3 behind him.
so 7 extra unfriendlies. This model can only handle 4. Sorry.
Don't chance it. We knock him out, one of the others could get trigger happy,
Dylan said.
Signal is jammed,
Cord offered.
Mary suggesting 2 snipers on the roof, holes on the south and east areas of the room. I'm flying another drone up to scope out angles.
Vi's voice was a barely audible whisper. Dylan summoned his patience as he worked his way to a better position to climb the roof. Marshall could determine who the other sniper would be, but he was number 1.
Get up there with him, Shet,
Marshall ordered.
We go on Dylan's mark.
Graves appeared to his left and started clearing the area as Rugger's men turned the corner on their sweeps. 3 snapped necks later. Dylan was perched on the roof and lying on his belly. The interior of the building was small, trashed, and a nightmare for entry. Trip wires covered the area, so many the slightest movement near the windows and doors would detonate something, assuming it wasn't run via a signal cord jammed. Dylan couldn't take the chance.
Wired tight,
he commented.
Recommend Graves' first wave,
Vi added.
Go when ready. We have you covered from above.
Roger. Clearing entry along western wall.
Vi, I want another 3 drones in there. We'll drop flashbang to cover entry. Let's neutralize whoever we can with the drones on first wave.
Dylan pulled a couple flashbangs out and waited for the drones to appear near him.
On 3.
Chet popped and dropped as he did. Shouts and alarms rose from inside the building. The drones swooped down. Gunfire filled the area, but Dylan's focus remained on the interior of the building as he downed whoever he could reach from his limited view. Marshall led the other operatives into a battle with the surrounding people under Peter's command. Dylan tied a line to the side of the roof and descended through a hole he breached with his foot. He landed in a squat and scanned the area. Graves knelt near the chair. Peter's gun was trained on the man, who'd put his hands behind his back.
You know, this isn't gonna end well,
Graves said.
Surrender now, and maybe you'll leave here breathing.
You're the one who won't be breathing much longer. Not after I get what I want.
You'll never get that, Peter. Not from her. Not from us.
Dylan rose and entered the fray, weapon focused on him. He stepped over tripwires and swept the area, noting most of the men were down. Drones flitted around Peter and the chair, angry bees looking for a target. He guessed they hadn't attacked Peter because he had a second weapon pointed to Mary's temple, finger on the trigger. He lifted his weapon up in a mock surrender, and settled it at his feet.
Let her go.